morning.
He's not in here, so I'll just start off with this to help me out a little bit. Our brother Ray came up and said, we just want to see if maybe this summer you would like to speak again before you mess today's up and we decide not to ask you again. So that kind of took the pressure off of me, I hope. I was asked to speak on Mother's Day before, and I was going through, and the first time you do something, you think, well, I'm going to try to find all the best examples. And so I didn't want to just take that back out and repeat it. So this one may be a little different, but I'm going to try to basically go through and look at different mothers in the Bible and see what God can teach us through that. So the first mother that we're going to look at this morning is the very first mother. Okay, and I think all of us know who that is. And first of all, I was just thinking about how important mothers are, and I'll reference this again. But I was just thinking how important, just going over my mind, how important mothers really are and what they mean to us and different things. But when you get down to the basics of mothers and you look around, and I was thinking that if there wasn't mothers, then this whole place would be empty, that all of us have mothers. So how important, just in the very beginning, that mothers give us life. So if you could look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. And I think I've got over what I'm going to be able to do in the time this morning. So we're going to go through as many of these mothers as we can, and then we'll just stop when it's time to stop. Okay, the first one is Eve, Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So we see here that God gave Eve the ability to be the mother of all living. So it starts off with that mothers, of course, through God's help, give life. And then if you'll turn over to Genesis, I'm going to be skipping around a little bit here. Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And I know Eve, a lot of time we just think of the sin that she did, and that's the highlight that we often think about. But I thought that this was good here, that at the end of this verse, she recognizes that I have gotten a man from the Lord. So she knew where her child came from the Lord. And I think that's wonderful for us to remember, is that as mothers, as fathers, that children are a gift from the Lord. And then back, this kind of skips around, back at Genesis 3:15, it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking to the serpent, Satan, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And then continuing on, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So we see the promise of the Messiah in 15, and how wonderful that is, that through a woman, through a mother, God chose to send our Savior, our Redeemer, that we talked about this morning. And then in verse 16, we see that because of the sin that she did commit, that she was going to have to go through sorrow in bearing children. And I haven't gone through this, and I haven't really had to go through any type of surgery, but I was there with Lisa when our children were, I was 10-4 when I was born, so I would probably somewhat to blame for this, and they thought that Jen and Jacob were going to be over 10 pounds. So they said that Lisa, it may be difficult for Lisa to have the children naturally, so she had to go through the surgery twice, a C-section, to have our children. I was there and just remembering that how much love that Lisa must have for the children to go through that and then not one time, but go through that again. So I just, it amazes me. They said, I've heard this before, that God knew that men couldn't handle it, so that's why women have children. We can't handle the pain. So just thankful for women, for my mother, for everyone's mother, being willing to go through that, that it's not an easy thing, I'm sure, that they have to go through in order to give birth to us. And then back in Genesis 1:28, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So we see here that God was instructing them to be fruitful and multiply. He wanted them to have children and have a lot of children. And I think here at the chapel that a lot of us are not, they're not having trouble with that decision that God made to have a lot of children. We're blessed with many children here, and they are a blessing. I was just thinking of my own grandmother, and you know, throughout the Bible, they have a lot of genealogies or family trees. And I was just trying to make it personal to me, and sometimes we read over those and say, well, we don't need to read all these names, but when you make it personal, it starts meaning more. So this is my grandmother's. Her name is Pauline. We just call her Granny. And she had John, and I'm including the wives here, John, Jean, Tony, Kim, Sarah, and Jeremy. And then my father's Ronald, Wilma, Todd, Lisa, Jenna, and Jacob. And then my brother, Brad and Janelle and Madeline, was their little girl. And then the daughter of the family was Judy, married Paul, had Derek and Bree, Stephanie and Keith, and Anna Grace was their daughter. And then the other, the fourth one, the fourth child was Van, who married Myra, had Mandy and Steve's her husband, and then Molly's their daughter and Brad's their husband. So in all, and I'm so thankful for the way my grandmother has led, we just went on a trip, believe it or not, all of us together about a month ago and stayed in a big cabin together with us, 29 of us. And I was just thinking, well, what if Granny wasn't here? Or what if she wasn't willing to have children? Out of these that I listed, 17 of these would not be here. Out of those 29, they just wouldn't be here. So you just... You've heard the movie, Jimmy Stewart, about the importance of a life. And I just think, when you think back, and not to even mention the godliness that she has, but just the process of giving life, on how much that she's given. And sometimes she thinks, right now she's not in very good shape, and she stays with one sibling, or one of my uncles 1 week, then my dad 1 week, then... my aunt 1 week, and then my other uncle Van 1 week. And she said, I wish God would just go ahead and take me so I wouldn't have to be a bother to y'all. And I just went through this and thinking about how, what a blessing that she is to us, and how that she has given us so much, and that it's not like a burden, but it's a pleasure and a blessing to be able to give back a little bit to her for what she's done for us. Okay, so that's Eve, the first mother, and the basic thing here is that mothers give life. Okay, now if you'll turn over to Genesis 11, and I may just give you a little, because I'm a school teacher, give you a little thing here, and you can just in your mind see if you can guess who the next mother may be. And this one, they call her a lot the mother of many nations, and I looked up that word up, and it can also... I mean, the mother of many multitudes. And, of course, here we're talking about Sarah. And it started off with Sarah, and God, will see, that changed her name to Sarah. Genesis 11:30. It says, "But Sarah was barren, and she had no child." And I noticed when I was doing this study that it went through that even as important as we view, and I think we have a good view of mothers here at this chapel and hold them in high regard, but the world outside a lot of times does not view motherhood in the light that it should be and that God, I believe, intended. And that all, sometimes people even say, well, why are you doing that? That's going to keep you from doing this. But as I read through here, I just saw how important motherhood was to God and how important motherhood was to the ladies in that day, that if they didn't have children, that really was a burden on their heart. They really wanted children. And we'll see that this in these next couple mothers, few mothers. So she had no children. And then we go on Genesis 17:15. And if you can't keep up here, I'll just call out the verse, but move on. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And it says, and I will bless her and give her thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations or a mother of multitudes. And we're going to see that promise is going to come true. It was a blessing to me to see this. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And first, Sarai means my princess. And then God changed her name to just princess, took the my away because she was going to be a princess of many. So that's the name change there. And even though that he was 100 and she was 90, God promised that she was going to have her own child. And we know that she made mistakes and tried to go in, take it into her own hand and try to get children another way through her handmaiden, things like that, that God wasn't pleased with, but God kept his promise, as we'll see. Genesis 18:12 says, therefore Sarah laughed. We saw earlier that Abraham laughed, and now in 18:12 it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? So she thought of it as a pleasure. She hadn't had all this, hadn't had a child for the first time it was 10 years, she took it into her own hands, and now she had been waiting 25 years to have a child. And she says, finally, now in my old age, am I going to have the pleasure of being a mother? And it says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And then we go over to Genesis 21:1. We see here that Sarah didn't, at first, it didn't look like she believed that God was going to be able to do that. She'd been waiting 25 years, and she hadn't been able to have children yet. And now, all of a sudden, she's saying, now it's going to happen when I'm 90 years old. So you can see maybe her human thinking process here. But then we see in Genesis 21:1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Sarah said, God hath made me laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Skip to verse 6. Verse 7, and she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So we see here that God came through. Nothing was too hard for the Lord. And God came through, and she had a child. And she was given this happiness of being a mother in her old age at 90 years old. Skipping to Genesis 23:1. Just showing, I'm trying to show also how we should treat our mothers and have the respect and love for our mothers. It says, and Sarah was 127 years old. There were the years of the life of Sarah, 127. So about 37 years she had been able to be a mother to Isaac. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And then 24:67, this is Isaac, and I'm not sure exactly how much time has passed since Sarah, his mother, had died, but I thought this was really neat right here. And it says, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah and became his wife. And she became his wife, and he loved her. And then right here at the end, it says, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And I know recently, our brother Randy, Hunter, several, we have several mothers that are sick, have lost their mother here. And I know that's, I haven't lost a mother, but I know that when it was Mr. French, Lisa's father died, that it's a tough time, especially at birthdays and Mother's Day and Father's Day and things like that. And I just thought here, and I'm not sure, I'm sure that God was the main one, but just trying to be a comfort to your spouse when they lose their mother. And what that's an example there, that Rebecca, I'm sure, comforted Isaac during that time. Okay, now this one, I found this, and it was really neat to me sometimes, and I know most of y'all probably already knew it, but it was like a gold nugget when I came through, found this. Remember the promise that God had made saying that Sarah's going to be a mother of multitudes, of many. If you look at Exodus 1:5, and I don't know why I hadn't put this together before, but as we go on down through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, we follow them on down through in Exodus 1:5. And it says, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And we don't have time to go through that story, but how there was a famine and Joseph was second in command, and he invited his whole family with his father to come to Egypt. And they did that. There was about 70 that came into Egypt. Okay. In 1:6 it says, and Joseph died and all his brethren, all that generation. So Joseph died, and they have the record of that, of when he passed away. Then in 1:7 it says, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. We see that promise coming true that Abraham, that God gave to Abraham and also told about Sarah. And then if you'll turn over to 12:37, this is really amazing. I didn't have time to compute it out, the rate of birth and all of that. But it's Exodus 12:37. We see that they started with 70. 70 Israelites were in Egypt. And then if you look in 12:37, this was about, if my calculations are correct, give or take about 50 years on either side, because I don't know the exact date, but about 350 years later, this is the time of the Exodus, going out of Egypt, when God took them out of Egypt. And it says, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside the children. And they did the calculation about the number of people, and that ended up to be about, it could be around 2 million. So from 70 to 2 million. So that promise was coming true there that God had given to Abraham and Sarah, that she would be a mother of many. So that was just something to the side that I wanted to show you, that that when God says something, you can count on it. That he's going, even though she was 90, didn't see how it was going to happen, she took things in her own hand, but God made it happen in his timing. Okay, the next mother that I want to look at, and this one you probably wouldn't think of probably on a Mother's Day message, but this one is, I'll give you the hint first, and I know some people like to play games like this. This lady was unloved as a wife, but she was loved as a mother and happy as a mother. She was unloved as a wife, but she was loved and happy as a mother. Does anybody know that one? Good, Leah. All right, if you turn to Genesis 29. And this is not the way God intends it. God wants our relationship with our spouse, our husband, our wife, to be happy. And that's supposed to be the main relationship. So I'm not saying that this is the way that it, God wanted it. But this, he records it the way that it was in the Bible. He doesn't sugarcoat it, but just tells what happened in these times. All right, if you look at Genesis 29:30. It says, and he went in also to Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And you know the story, how he loved Rachel first, and he worked 7 years. Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and his future father-in-law tricked him and gave Leah. And so he had to work another 7 years in order to get Rachel. So it's a whole other story, but basically, you can see here that Leah was not the favorite wife. And 31, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened up her womb, but Rachel was barren. So we see that God took compassion on Leah and gave her children. 32, and Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bore a son, and said, now this time my husband will be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left bearing for a time. Left bearing means she didn't have children for a while right there. So we see that God saw that Leah was not the favorite wife. Even here it's got strong words, hated. Maybe because he had to work another 7 years. I'm not sure about that. But basically God saw that she was sad and she blessed her with children. And then if you'll skip over to 30:14, and I thought this was neat. I tried to see, what do children do? And a lot of things that you'll see that we do, the traditions that we have of giving things and things that we say. One just a little aside while you're turning there. I was so impressed. We had the Awana's Award ceremony this past Wednesday. And we had, and I don't want to, I'm going to have to call one name, but several of the young ladies here, and it wasn't my daughter, but it was several of the young ladies here were like campers of the year. They had done so much studying and done the extra projects, went over and beyond to get these awards. And I hope my brother Bert won't, I was congratulating Bert because his daughter Caroline was one of them. And he turned around and said, she takes after her mother. So I thought that a lot of times we say that, and there's actually a verse, and I know that's true, but also takes after a father. But there's a verse, and I meant to write it down, that it says that as her mother, she is. So we get a lot of the things that we say, I don't think, or at least sometimes I don't realize it, has its origin in the Bible. Even though we're losing a lot of that, and we have the prayer today about the Bible in the schools, that can continue so we don't lose our foundations in God's Word. But to get back with our story, in 24:67, and we go through a lot of different things, but it says, and Isaac brought her into her mother Sarah's tent and took, 30:14, and Reuben in the days of wheat harvest, this is 30:14, and found mandrakes in the field, and brought them unto his mother Leah. Okay, so here at least is one of the first times that I saw that a child was given something to his mother. Now he might have thought, and he goes on and does something bad later on with his father's concubine and things like that. But I'm thinking about Reuben. What was he thinking? He knew obviously that his mother probably wasn't the favorite. So he went out and found these mandrakes, and it was a fruit, and brought it in to his mother. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. So Leah was saying, you already have my husband. She was married to him first, to Jacob first. And now her son brings her this gift or this present out in the from the wheat fields, this fruit. And now Rachel not only wants that, her husband, but this. So evidently, the way it was, they had separate tents. And Jacob would not even stay in the same tent with Leah. That's how it was. And Rachel was saying, if you'll give me your son's mandrakes, then you can stay with your husband and my husband tonight. So this is a situation, and God did not approve of this, more than one wife and all that. But this is what they were doing there. In Genesis 30:20, and Leah said, God had endured me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him 6 sons, and she called his name Zebulun. So after a while, years had passed, she was able to have 2 more. So in all, she had 6 of the children. In 33:1, and this one, I want you to think of Leah. I want you to think of all that she's been through. She was happy as a mother. God had blessed her. But think of how she was like second rate in her husband's eyes. And this one like puts the icing on the cake. Like, how in the world could a man, a husband, be this insensitive? And it says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came with 400 men. All right, so his brother Esau, that he had schemed, cheated out of his birthright, he was coming, and Jacob was afraid that Esau and his men were going to attack him. All right, so now think about this. Think about Leah. And it says, Jacob divided up the children unto Leah and unto Rachel. So he gave Leah her children, Rachel her children, and into the 2 handmaids. He also had 2 handmaids that he had children through. And then look at 33:2. And he put the handmaids and the children foremost. So he put the servants, the handmaidens first, and their children in the front. And then he put Leah and her children in the middle. And then at the end, he had Rachel and Joseph himself were at the back. So basically, he was thinking, the way my mind's working, that if Esau is going to attack, then he's going to attack the servants and their children first, okay? And then he'll have to get Leah and her children second, and then maybe that'll give enough time for Rachel and me to escape. So just thinking about how he was treating Leah during his time over and over again, she had seen this, and so it's, to me, it's not a, this is not a good story for a husband on treating his wife. But we see that he got tangled up in a lot of different things there. But what I want to focus on now is Leah as a mother. God blessed her, saw her sorrow, and blessed her with 6 children. Okay, now we're going to go quickly, and I'm not going to get to probably half of them, but quickly I'm going to go to Rachel and just read these to you. And when Rachel, this is Genesis 30, and when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. This is how bad they wanted to have children back then. She said, or else I die, give me children. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. Verse 22. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Then 35:16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little while to come from Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had a hard labor. And this was just a blessing to my heart. I went through it too fast. In 30:24, and she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Look at that promise. She'll add to me another son. And then in 35:16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. So we see again, just like in Sarah and Abraham's case, that we see here that, well, this one was a prayer that she said she named him Joseph because she was going to have another son. And she did, even though it was on her deathbed, she had another son, and his name was Benjamin. Okay, the next one, and I'm just going to try to summarize some of these because I've got a lot of examples. This was a mother who made not the first ark, but the second ark. Does anybody have an idea? Moses, okay, even though it was much smaller, it was like a basket. It says, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, even every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And there went a man out of the house of Levi and took a wife of daughter of Levi. Exodus 2:2. And the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. This was a smart lady right here. This is very smart. She hid him for 3 months so that he wouldn't be thrown and drowned into the river. In 2:3, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him, and this is where I got that. I know some of y'all were looking at me funny about the ark. And she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the children therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. So she couldn't stay and watch because she knew they would figure that out. She left her daughter there. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then all of a sudden, his sister, this is Moses' sister, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go, and the maiden went and called the child's mother. And I thought this was neat right here. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child, talking to Moses' own mother, and she didn't know it, take this child away and nurse it for me. And look at this. I will give thee wages. I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And I just thought here, for y'all that took the financial course, I said Dave Ramsey would be proud right there that she was getting paid to take care of her own mother. That was a good deal for her. And the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. So we see here that a mother was willing to go. She loved Moses so much that she was willing to go to extreme circumstances, and God gave her the wisdom and worked the things out to be there at the right time to save her son. And we know later on that God had all this intended because he was going to use Moses to save his people. Okay, I'm going to have to close up. I'm just going to give you just a few other ones. I'm not going to be able to read the verses. And this is one I went into a lot of detail last time, but this is a beautiful picture on how to respect and love your parents. Now, this is actually a mother-in-law, and Miss French said, I'm not going to stay in here because she said, I want Lisa to be able to hear it. But she said, how many examples are you going to use of me? So I don't think so. I think I give too many examples. They don't like that. But a beautiful example, if you have time, I think this one probably encompasses this day, Mother's Day, even though it's not an actual mother, but is the story of Ruth. If you can read that. And how Ruth went in and just took care of her mother-in-law and loved her like her own mother. It's just a beautiful picture. Another one that I looked in, and I didn't even realize how much it had, but there was another mother that was interested, was Bathsheba. And on how she went in, and David was about to die, and one of his other sons, the oldest son they think that was living at that time, Adonijah, had kind of taken over. He was going to be the next king. But David had said earlier and made a promise that that Solomon was going to be the king. So the mother went in to David. It was David's wife, Bathsheba, and said, remember what you said. Remember the promise that Solomon was going to be king. So she went in and spoke for her son. And that's what ended up happening as he went to be the king. And then I'll just close with this one. This is how Solomon treated his mother when he was king. It says in 1 Kings 2:19, Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be for the king, set for the king's mother. And she sat at his right hand. Even though he was the king, he bowed down, praised his mother, and got her a seat right beside him, a throne right beside him, sat at his right hand. He loved his mother. And I know that y'all know this verse, and I just think it's I just have to paraphrase it because I don't have it right here in front of me, but it's Proverbs 31 is another good place to think about godly mothers. And it's the Proverbs 31 woman on how her children will rise up and call her blessed. And that's my prayer today, that if you've lost your mother, that you'll be comforted and knowing that God had given you that gift of a mother for many years, and that your spouse will be able to comfort you during this time. And those of us whose mothers are still alive, that we will give them a place of honor, that we'll appreciate them. That we'll thank God. We love God first, of course, in Christ, but what a wonderful gift mothers are to us. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessing you've given us. We thank you first and most of all for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that, as Andy shared with us today, you even made the decision to give him an earthly mother, even though he had no beginning, no end. He had a mother like we did, and we saw that earlier this morning that he was in subjection, and he honored, even in his death, he honored his mother. I pray that you'll help us to do that, not just today, but also throughout our lives, that we'll let our mothers know that we love them. We appreciate the countless hours of time that they took in raising us, and that if it comes time to, that we will take the time to help them in their old age. We have many mothers that are getting frail. Just give us the strength and the wisdom and what you would have us to do in their care. We just thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.